Well, we all know that on a Sunday when we've got baptisms that I'm just the opening act for the main event. Amen? Amen. In just a few minutes, we're going to hear from five young men who are going to tell us their stories of faith in Jesus Christ. And then we're all going to have the privilege of witnessing their baptisms together. And it's very exciting for me because I'm not just the pastor of these five guys, but I'm also the dad of three of them, my three sons. But before we do that, we need to hear a word from God's Word. And that word will come from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. For the last 6 weeks, I've been reading to you from the Gospel of Luke about what we call Passion Week, starting with Palm Sunday and the triumphal entry, and then progressing each week a little further in the story until last week when we read about the crucifixion, death, and burial of our Lord Jesus. Today we'll finish that story. And let me tell you what we're going to read. We're going to read about Jesus coming back from the dead. Now we've already said it this morning and we've sung it today and we've had it sung to us powerfully. But Jesus didn't stay dead. He came back to life. Christ is risen. But what's that mean? What does that look like? What does that mean for us today? Tricia has just revealed to us the sermon title, which was a secret until this second. I told Marilyn, don't put on the back of the bulletin. Right? This one is a secret. Jesus is not a zombie. How's that for a shocker of a headline this morning? You're like, I didn't need to go to church to know that one. Jesus is not a zombie. I think it needs said today. I've had this title of this message rolling around in my little mind for the last month as Resurrection Sunday has approached. Have you noticed our culture's growing fascination with zombies? Zombies are everywhere. It's mainly a joke. Are you ready to survive the coming zombie apocalypse? Zombies are funny, apparently. I'm not exactly sure why, but people find them so. They're also good for a scare. People love the horror and being shocked. Zombies are very popular right now. There are actually books that take Jane Austen, okay? Jane, like Pride and Prejudice, okay? Oh, yes, Mr. Darcy, okay? And they add zombies to the story, okay? The most watched basic cable television drama show in history is called what? You know it. Which is basically The Walking Dead, which is basically about zombies and people being attacked by zombies. The premiere episode for The Walking Dead's fourth season, which is now rated TVMA, by the way, more restricted than TV-14. The premiere episode of The Walking Dead's fourth season had 16.1 million viewers in the U.S. That's 5 million more than the premiere of Duck Dynasty. Our culture is fascinated with zombies. The undead, the walkers, those who have died but are still somehow reanimated, still walking, still functioning but are no longer human. And what would happen if? Why is our culture so fascinated with zombies? Well, I don't know. Perhaps we want to be shocked so that we feel something. We've had every other excitement happen to us. Now we've got to have something more. Let's have the dead walk around and attack us. Perhaps we want some kind of a sense of the supernatural, that there's power out there. Superheroes are even more popular now than zombies, aren't they? We could talk about that sometime too. But why zombies? Other than our fascination with darkness and horror and chaos and evil. And some of you are like, I came for Easter and we'll get zombies at church. What is he doing? I think it has to do with death and life. What is death? What is life? What happens after death? Could there be life after death? And what would it be like? Would it be a simple reanimation? Dead body parts come back to a semblance of life? Frankenstein? Or do we dare hope for more? For true resurrection? The risen Jesus is not a zombie. Let's let Luke tell us what He's really like. Luke 24. Follow along with me as I read. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how He told you while He was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered His words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus Himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing Him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked Him, Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" He asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed Him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified Him. But we had hoped that He was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find His body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said He was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but Him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter His glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning Himself. As they approached the village to where they were going, Jesus acted as if He were going farther. But they urged Him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is almost over.' So He went in to stay with them. When He was at the table with them, He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him, and He disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Oh, were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and He's appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when He broke the bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus Himself stood among them and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." When he led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Would you pray with me? Lord, it's glorious. Glorious to read about. Help us to just get a glimpse of it, a corner of it, a grasp on it. A grasp of glory this morning, Lord, is what we ask for. Help us to see what this says and what it means for us. We pray in the name of our risen Savior. Amen. By the way, this slide here is actually a picture of a sunset in Oaxaca, Mexico. But when I saw it, it made me think of a sunrise in Israel. That Sunday morning when Jesus was no longer in His tomb. The women came with the spices. They didn't know how they were going to get into Jesus' body because of that big rock. But the rock was rolled away. And Jesus wasn't there. Two angels were. And they said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen." The women told the men the story, but they weren't believed. Perhaps because they were women. But also because their story was so fantastic. "What do you mean he wasn't there? What do you mean angels? What do you mean risen?" But these two disciples, one of them named Cleopas, the other one maybe Mrs. Cleopas, we don't know, encountered Jesus himself on the road to Emmaus. They were kept from recognizing him at first, but it was him. And after he explained the whole Bible and the whole story and how it all pointed to the Christ, they broke bread together. They could see that it was him. And they ran back to town and they met the 11 and the rest. And they said, the rest said, "It's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." And the other two said, "Us too." Here's point number one of three this morning. The risen Jesus is not a hoax. The risen Jesus is not a hoax. Here is the testimony of these eyewitnesses. Verse 34. It is true. This happened. This is not just a story that somebody cooked up. It's not a bedtime story or a fairy tale. It's not a myth. It's not a metaphor. It's not just something nice we tell the kids when we hunt for eggs. It's not just a story we cooked up to make us feel better. It's true. This is not a conspiracy to hide the body of Jesus to make people think that we have something good going on in Christianity. The risen Jesus is not a hoax. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that the chief priests met with the guards who were supposed to have been watching the tomb and paid them to say, "His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep." So there is a hoax circulating about the resurrection, but the hoax is that it didn't happen. The truth is that it did. And all of Christianity hangs on that historical claim. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we are wasting our time here this morning. And boys are getting dunked for nothing. Because it's all based upon the fact that the tomb was empty and that Jesus had risen just as he said. The risen Jesus is not a hoax. Application? investigate the evidence for yourself. These were not the only eyewitnesses. The Bible says that there were more than 500 people who saw Jesus alive after His crucifixion. You might be here this morning and you're a skeptic. You might need to weigh the evidence for yourself. I know that I've needed that. And when my faith gets shaken, I come back to the evidence for the resurrection and I build my faith again on that foundation. That's why we're giving away this book Keith mentioned, The Case for Christ. It's that we bought a whole case of The Case for Christ. Okay? They're out on the table out there. Take one. If you've got somebody that's investigating, give them one. Chapter 12 is called The Evidence of the Missing Body. Was Jesus' body really absent from His tomb? Chapter 13, the evidence of His appearances. Was Jesus seen alive after His death on the cross? Chapter 14, the circumstantial evidence. Are there any supporting facts that point to the resurrection? Conclusion, what does the evidence establish and what does it mean today? The risen Jesus is not a hoax. Number two, the risen Jesus is not a ghost. Did you notice that in verse 37? The disciples were afraid that Jesus was a ghost, a disembodied spirit, perhaps like Samuel we saw a few weeks ago. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. Verse 37, and He said to them, verse 38, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at My hands and My feet. It is I Myself. Touch Me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When He said this, He showed them His hands and His feet. He wasn't a ghost. He had flesh and bones. He could be touched. Poke, poke, poke. If you went poke to Jesus, you'd touch flesh. It was Him. Yes, He came and went dramatically, even appearing within locked doors, so maybe His new body had new properties that were supernatural. But it was definitely Him. Look at My hands, He says. Look at My feet. It is I Myself. Touch Me and see. The risen Jesus is not a ghost. Here's the application of that. Stop doubting and believe. That's what Jesus said on one of these occasions to Thomas. He said, stop doubting and believe. Put your doubts away that this is all a game or a ghost story. Something we tell around the fire. And believe. That's what these five young guys are doing by being baptized today. They are saying that they choose away from doubt and into faith. They believe. After you've done your investigation, then put your faith in the truth. Don't waver. Don't wonder. Don't hedge your bets. Put all your weight down on Jesus. Because the risen Jesus is not a hoax, and He's not a ghost, and He's not a zombie. It's pretty obvious, isn't it, from when we read it? Just from reading the story, we're not looking at a zombie here. He's not a mummy all coming out all wrapped out of the tomb like something from an Egyptian B-movie. The strips of linen are lying by themselves, right? Verse 12. He's not a reanimated walking corpse that is somehow dead and also somehow kind of alive. He is alive. Verse 40. When He'd said this, He showed them His hands and feet, and while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, He asked them, do you have anything here to eat? I love that. Right? It's like, let me show you. Right? Give me something to eat. And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish, and He took it, and He ate it in their presence. Ghosts don't eat things. Zombies don't eat those sort of things either. There are no such thing as zombies. Jesus is showing them that it is Him alive and fully alive. Zombies don't have great Bible study conversations like verse 27. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning Himself. Or verse 44, this is what I told you when I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about Me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then He opened their minds so they could understand the Scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And that's what happened. Jesus has risen from the dead, and He's not a zombie. The truth is better than any horror story ever imagined. Jesus is not the walking dead. He was dead, but now He's alive. And He's alive forever. That's what He says in Revelation chapter 1. He tells John, the Revelator, He says, "I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever." The book of Hebrews says that His life is now indestructible. I love that word. Indestructible Jesus. He's not a zombie. Zombies, apparently from the TV show, can be defeated and laid to waste. Depending on who's telling the story, there's lots of ways of stopping a zombie. But the risen Jesus is not a zombie. He's not just reanimated. He's resurrected. The perishable has been clothed with the imperishable. And the mortal has been clothed with immortality. And death has been defeated. What's the application? Rejoice and bear witness. Rejoice because it means your salvation if you believe. Rejoice because it means your own resurrection someday. The Bible says that we will have resurrection bodies like Jesus' body. We will not be zombies either. Philippians 3 says, "Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so they will be like His glorious body." Rejoice. We have so much more to look forward to if we belong to Jesus. Rejoice. And bear witness. Tell the world that Jesus is risen. Don't just say it here among your friends. Say it out there. That's what Jesus told His disciples that day, right? Verse 47, "Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached, heralded, told to others, to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." You are witnesses of these things. Bear witness. Tell other people about the risen Jesus. That's what these five young guys are doing today as well. They are telling the nations that Jesus is alive and that they belong to Him. They are being buried with Him in baptism, symbolically. Down into the water, symbolizing death. And then up out of the water to symbolize His resurrection and to anticipate their own. Jesus is not a hoax. Investigate the evidence for yourself. Jesus is not a ghost. Stop doubting and believe. Jesus is not a zombie. He is resurrected and fully alive forever and ever. Rejoice and give witness to Him. Amen? Amen. Amen.